This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, March 16, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A Grand Rapids Public Schools leader has been placed on administrative leave through the end of the school year, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
In an email Thursday, Superintendent Dr. Ledrian Roby informed staff that Deputy Superintendent of Preschool through 12 Learning and Leadership, Dr. Brandy Lovelady Mitchell, had been placed on administrative leave through the remainder of the school year. The letter went on to say the district is committed to transparency, but because it's a personnel matter, cannot comment further on the circumstances surrounding the leave. This is the second time Mitchell has been placed on leave since joining the district in August 2022. The first time was in 2024, when the district investigated claims of disrespectful behavior. Roby noted chief area instructional leaders are stepping in to take on additional responsibilities during Mitchell's leave, and student learning will continue without interruption. I'm Dee Morrison.
Ada Township residents will vote on a new parks and recreation millage in the upcoming August election. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
The Ada Township Board of Trustees voted to add the millage proposal on the August 4th ballot. The township is requesting a 10-year millage at a rate of 1.2 mils. The proposed millage would replace the current parks, recreation, and land preservation millage, which expires at the end of the year. If approved, the new millage will collect approximately $1.8 million during its first year, beginning with the December 2026 levy. The owner of a $500,000 home would pay $600 a year. That's an annual increase of almost $287 from the current 0.65 mil levy. The proposed millage will help fund increased maintenance and improvements within Ada Township parks. This includes modernizing Ada Park, repairing infrastructure, improving ADA accessibility, and supporting community recreation programs. Township officials considered lower millage requests of 1.0 mil and 1.1 mils, but determined that those lower rates would not support the park system's long-term operational and funding needs. I'm David Limbaugh.
There's a new pediatric mental health hospitality center in Grand Rapids supporting patient families. WGVU's Dee Morrison takes us inside.
Places for families to just sit down, rest, relax, recharge, get away from the maybe hospital setting.
Selena Bishop is president and CEO of Ronald McDonald House, an organization providing free overnight stays for families with hospitalized children. The new family room at Pine Rest Pediatric Center of Behavioral Health offers additional family support.
We know that families don't always need a place to stay overnight, but they need a place to land while they're here, and that is what we're here to do. We're doing the hospitality that we are known for and bringing it here for families.
The area has a kitchen, lounge space, tables, workstations, chargers, and headphones, along with a children's play area. Ronald McDonald House volunteers will host and stock the space with drinks and snacks at no cost to the families. Pine Rest President and CEO Mark Eastberg says the partnership is built on the philosophy that caring for a child means caring for the whole family.
We're both seeking the good of the community. It's a joy to work with like-minded organizations that share the same values of focusing on families and kids.
This is West Michigan's first family room. It's one of three in the state, including Detroit and Lansing. I'm Dee Morrison.
The Muskegon Area School District is receiving $750,000 in federal support through the Community Project funding process. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Each year, Congress considers appropriations bills that fund the federal government, and Community Project funding is part of that process. The $750,000 in federal funding for Muskegon Area School District will be used to equip the Career Tech Center and Goodwill Workforce programs with computer numerical control machines, welding equipment, robotics trainers, and precision tools. Officials with the district say the goal is to expand access for high schoolers and adult learners to in-demand manufacturing careers, support local defense and aerospace employers, and drive economic mobility in Muskegon County. In a statement, MAISD Superintendent Randy Lindquist said, quote, "This investment is a game changer for our students and our community. This funding provides a distinct competitive advantage by allowing us to launch a program that is linked to high-need, high-paying jobs in our region," end quote. U.S. Congresswoman Hillary Scolton, a Democrat from Grand Rapids, helped secure the funding. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin previews Forest Hills Central High's presentation of Something Rotten, but first, news from around the state. Michigan education officials visited an elementary school in Waterford, about 40 minutes northwest of Detroit, on Friday to build support for the governor's literacy spending plan. Colin Jackson has more.
That's a young student showing off the phonemic skills she learned from teachers trained in a literacy method known as letters. The governor's proposing $50 million to help more teachers undergo that training, plus millions more for tutors and new learning materials. Beverly Walker Grafia leads the Michigan Department of Lifelong Education, Advancement, and Potential. She says getting kids reading is everyone's duty.
If we don't work together to have this continuum, this playbook, where are we going to be economically, in our communities, in our families, as well as the state?
Michigan's reading scores are currently among the lowest in the nation. I'm Colin Jackson.
This week, the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals will hear arguments in an important immigration case. The American Civil Liberties Union argues that the Trump administration's new mandatory detention policy for immigrants, even those pending asylum cases or without criminal records, violates those people's right to due process. Miriam Ackerman is a senior attorney at the ACLU.
It's the goal of the administration to make people so desperate because they're detained that they're going to leave their families behind and just leave the country and leave everything they've known, leave their communities, leave their kids.
Most of the 11 immigrants in the case before the appeals court this week live in Michigan. Many have for years. Attorneys for the federal government argue the immigrants should be locked up until their immigration cases are resolved or they're deported. Michigan farmers may face more financial uncertainty as fertilizer and fuel prices are up 25% following the war in Iran. The Straits of Hormuz, a key waterway in the Middle East, is blocked because of the war, causing shortages and price hikes in commodities like oil, natural gas, and nitrogen-based fertilizer. Chad Hart, an agricultural economist from Iowa State University, says some farmers may be unharmed by shortages and price hikes, but others are struggling.
Since they were already feeling financially squeezed from the last 2 years, this is just putting a lot more financial strain on Michigan producers right now that they were hoping they wouldn't face.
Hart says some farmers are choosing to grow soybeans instead of corn to avoid paying extra for nitrogen-based fertilizers. Others, Hart says, may try to wait out the price hikes, but experts say market prices will take around 3 months to return to normal after the war is finished. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support the show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Forest Hills Central High School presents Something Rotten, opening March 19 at the FHFAC. WGVU Shelley Irwin was joined by students to discuss their roles and what's in store for the audience.
And you know what theater means to many of us, including my next guests. Goodness gracious, they are ready to present Something Rotten. It opens this week at, of course, the beautiful Forest Hills Fine Arts Center. Forest Hills Central High School does present such, so I only get the stars, the best. Nick, step up to the plate and say hello.
Hi, my name is Ariella, and a little bit about the show. It's a big, big, wonderful musical about all these different references to other shows, but it kind of follows these two brothers who are trying to find out what the next greatest thing in theater will be. It's set in the Renaissance period, where a large portion of theatrical growth happens, where everything is becoming more beautiful and more grand. It creates an atmosphere of excitement, and it's a really great, funny musical for a lot of different people who would enjoy these references if you catch them.
Nice. Thank you to you, Ariella. What is your last name?
Wildy.
Who are you playing?
I play the role of Portia.
Ooh, nice. Nick, tell us about you and your role.
Yeah, so I play Nick Bottom. He's kind of the one of the leads. He works with his brother Nigel, the younger brother, and they are struggling playwrights who try to kind of figure out, like Ariella said, what the next big thing in theater is going to be, and we stumble upon musicals as kind of our next big thing, and we have a lot of misadventures of trying to figure out what the greatest musical of all time is going to be, and in doing so, we kind of accidentally combine a bunch of great musicals into one not so great musical, and that is, it's a lot of fun putting that on and finding all the references and stuff like that.
Is that when something's rotten?
Yes. Yes.
I don't want to give that away. Oh, Ellie, talk to me a little bit about you.
Hi, so I'm Ellie, and I have a bit of a few roles in this musical. So I am one of the dance captains, and with that, I am in the dance corps. And with this, I am one of Shakespeare's backup dancers. I am also an egg and an omelet. So there's a whole reference to how Hamlet, Shakespeare's great play Hamlet, is misinterpreted as omelet. So there's actually an entire song about dancing eggs and omelets. So I get to be featured in that. And I am also a few different roles as well. I am an astrologer, and I am also a townsperson.
Nice. How do you get in character for an omelet? I'm going to be an omelet, right?
Yes.
There you are. What's your history on stage? I'll stay with you, Ellie.
So this is my second year doing theater. I actually first started it last year with the school's production of Peter Pan. And then this fall, I started doing plays with The Crucible. But I have been dancing for a long time. I've been dancing for 15 years. But I have only recently started doing theater productions last year.
But keep that talent up. What's your history on stage, Ariana?
Well, I haven't been doing theater for very long. This is my second year. Last year, I started with Peter Pan. I did not involve myself in the play at that time, but I have been taking professional vocal training for about 3.5 years, and this will be my second year. I participated in The Crucible, which was a wonderful production, and now this is my third show being Something Rotten.
Yes, The Crucible. That is a good show, isn't it?
Yes. Fantastic show.
But so is Something Rotten. Tell me more about you and your history, Nick.
I have also been doing theater for 2 years. I was in a show when I was a lot younger. I was in the children's choir for Joseph and his amazing colorful coat. And that was kind of the end of my experiences for a while. And then last year, again in Peter Pan, like these two, I did try out, and I was given the role of a lost boy. And after that, I kind of just got sucked in, and here we are.
Yeah, it does tend to do that. Tell me, Nick, a little bit about behind the scenes. You have a pretty cool director, choreographer, and more?
Yes, we have a great team behind us. Jessie Dykstra is our director. She does a great job. Always trying to keep morale high, energy high. It's great. We have Gia Monteruso. She is our choreographer, along with the dance captains. And she gives us a lot of wonderful dynamic dances. It's a great time.
How about the rehearsals and balancing, Ariana, with your studies?
I think it gets harder as you go along. You have to balance yourself pretty meticulously, because once we get into the more technical parts where rehearsal isn't just fun and reading scripts and figuring out who's going to go where and what jokes we can keep, it kind of gets to a point where you're like, oh, this is actually going to be something that people see, so we need to take it more seriously. And that's when leveling your academic strength with the fun that you're having on stage becomes kind of meticulous, and it can be very difficult.
Yes. What is Tech Week like this week, Ellie?
So Tech Week this week, we're going till 8:30 at night, so it's definitely hard to balance school as well as theater. I'd say that we've had worse in the past few years, but we're all really excited. It's very tiring, but it's also a lot of fun, Tech Week. We all get to stay together and just bond as a team together.
About how many in the cast, Nick? Is it a big cast for this?
There is a pretty decent-sized cast.
Yes, and a pretty cool set.
Yeah, I think we have about 50 people.
So 50? Those are,
yeah, split different ensemble groups and stuff.
That is
so
cool.
It's nice to give a lot of people different opportunities to kind of be in the show.
Yeah.
And the set's looking great. We've had our stage crew has been working on that for a while.
Those are students, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. See, we have a few teachers supervising and stuff, just
all the teachers
for safety. But
they're there as well.
Mainly
student-led, yes. And obviously on stage as well. So, all right, why come see the show? This is how I end the interview. I'll start with you, Nick.
It's a great show. It's really funny. It was a lot of fun for the whole family. We've put a lot of work into this, and it's a great way to come out and support us and the arts in your community. But honestly, yeah, it's just going to be a great time. There's a lot of fun references and stuff. So if you're a theater person, you'll have a lot of fun. And if you're not a theater person, again, it's just a really funny, lighthearted show that you'll leave feeling excited.
That's nice. We need that now, even if it's something rotten. Tell me why come see the show, Ellie.
It's honestly a dance masterpiece. There's a lot of technical aspects and just a lot of performance as well. It's very upbeat and just there's so much humor in it. And I think especially if you know just a smidgen about musicals, you'll catch a lot of references. And it's really just, it makes you happy when you catch that kind of stuff. And I just think it's a great way to spend an evening. It gives you something to do and, you know, bring the family along. It's something for the whole family to do and just support your local community.
Wonderful. Back to you, spokesperson Ariana. Why come see the show and how do I get a ticket?
Well, if you look up Something Rotten Forest Hills Central High, there will be a link that you can buy tickets for the Fine Arts Center. I would say that the reason why people should come out to see the show is because there is something for everyone. There's comedy, there's a little bit of drama, there's romance, there's music, there's references that you'll catch, and it stems from a place of splendor where all of these culminated parts of theater have come together to become one wonderful, spunky show that we have spent so long making fun and wonderful for everyone to come see.
Yes, nice. Thank you all. Nick, you, Ellie, Ariana, on behalf of Something's Rotten, on behalf of your brothers and sisters at Forest Hills Central High School. Break a leg. Have fun opening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, March 16, 2026. I'm Joe Balecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.